Let us turn to Psalm 119 as we read God's Word. Psalm 119, the final part, verse 169, page 620 in the Pew Bibles. As I said, the theme today is verse 171, my lips will pour forth praise, but we'll read all of this portion. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Amen. May the Lord bless to each and every one of us the reading and the hearing of his own word. Today we come to the final part in our series of Psalm 119, and it's appropriate that we should conclude with these words of verse 171. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. I will praise you for all that you have taught me. In this final section of this longest psalm, there is the strange mixture of a cry for help, but also thankful praise of God and for his word. The psalmist says, let my cry come before you. Verse 169, let my plea come before you. 170. But then he goes on to say, my lips will pour forth praise, my tongue will sing of your word. 172. And then, let my soul live and praise you. 175. He is both pleading with God and praising his God. Throughout this psalm, again and again, we hear the psalmist praying that he is resolved to obey the word of the Lord. And he prays on many occasions for deliverance from troubles, from enemies, from everything that would be a hindrance to keep him or prevent him from obeying this word. And he expresses his delight in the word of God. And it's all to one end. It's all moving to one purpose in his heart. And that is that his whole self, his whole being, may praise the Lord. My lips shall pour forth praise. Like an overflowing fountain, or a steady stream of water. My lips will pour forth praise for all that you have taught me and continue to teach me. I want to look at three aspects of praise. The essence of these thoughts have been gleaned from a book that has been more than helpful. It's called Praise by Warren and Ruth Myers, who were missionaries in Singapore. And it's one of those books, when you start reading it, you just think, I wish I had read this years ago. I want to look at three aspects: praise and God's word, praise and joy, praise and tears. First of all, a few thoughts on praise. In Psalm 50 verse 23, God says, "Whoever offers praise glorifies me." As believers, we want to glorify God. We want to enjoy Him. But the actual practice of this sometimes eludes us. Just how can we enjoy God? It's not dependent on some mystical experience. We enjoy God as we praise Him for all that He is and all that He has done. The Word of God is the fuel to fire our love and our devotion, so that our praise, our worship, and our thanksgiving is founded upon the accurate knowledge of God and His will, what He wants us to do, what He expects of us, what He has commanded of us. When we base our praise on the Word of God, it will outflow in genuine, true worship. It will be a source of delight for God and for ourselves, because in a unique way we are bringing glory and pleasure to God. If we veer off, or if we go off at a tangent, and without the guidelines and the perspective of the Scriptures, praise can become all sorts of things. And I'm sure, like me, you've been at some places and there are some weird and wonderful things out there which is called the worship of God. Without the guidelines and the perspective of Scripture, all sorts of things will not glorify God. Perhaps you're sitting here and we're talking about enjoying God, and this idea of enjoying God is just something that has never even come into your thinking. It's possible for us to neglect praise, to push it off to the sidelines of our lives. Perhaps we think that praise is just what we do in between the prayer, the reading, and the sermon. The Bible shows us again and again people praising, thanking God, and telling others to do the same. God places great importance on praise and worship and thanksgiving, not because of any selfish desires on His part, but because He has our best interests at heart. He wants us to praise Him because it can actually be a benefit for ourselves. Because praise and thanksgiving make us focus on Him rather than on ourselves and our own wee world and our big problems. And so then praise can become a medicine for our soul. When God is part of the picture, when our focus is on Him, it encourages joy within us. It encourages spiritual vitality in our walk with Him. We owe God absolutely everything. So it's only right to give Him thanks and to give Him the glory that is due to His name. Praise isn't merely an obligation. It's actually one of our greatest privileges. Perhaps we are praiseless because we are spiritually malnourished. We have neglected to know our God, to know who He is, to know what He has done. And so our mouths and our hearts are empty to return anything to Him. It's not an optional extra. It's essential because it brings pleasure to God. It actually develops a closer fellowship between us and Him. And it helps us to feel a sense of security and satisfaction in our lives as we honour the Lord. First of all, I want to think about praise and God's Word. God has revealed Himself in written form so that we can understand Him, we can understand His attributes, we can know His character, His values, His plans, His ways. He speaks to us through His Word as we read it, as we listen to it, as we think about it, as we pray over it. God's Word, with the input of God's Word into our praise. Our praise can become more powerful, more dynamic, more life-changing, more pleasing to Him. We need to learn more and more how to fill our praise with God, with God's Word, with His glories, as He has revealed Himself in His Word. Psalm 66 verse 2 says, "Sing out the honour of His name, make His praise glorious." Think about Him, think about His name, how He has revealed Himself to us, and it will make our praise glorious. It will delight Him. The more that we know of the Scriptures through reading, study, and meditation, the more that we'll be able to praise God and to honour Him. We can see examples of this in the Scriptures, of praise that is filled with the Word of God. In Luke chapter 1, Mary's well-known song of praise, it's just full of God's Word from the Old Testament. She is filled with the Word of God, and when she gets this news, she just outpours this praise to Him. But it is all founded on His own Word. The Psalms, we know, are full of praises that we can offer to God. When God's Word and praise are working together, they help to increase our faith and to even expand, to cause it to grow our ability to praise Him. When we're focused on God's Word in our praise, it fixes our eyes on the Lord, on His ways, so that we exalt Him over our own desires, our own viewpoints, our own perspective. It helps us to pray according to His will. If our praise and our prayers are directed, guided by His Word, then we will pray according to His will. It will strengthen our confidence that He will hear and answer our prayers. When God's Word is coupled with praise, it's shifting our attention to God. It refreshes our spirit. It moves the focus away from all those things that are dragging us down, that are weighing upon us, all the disappointments, the problems, the difficulties, the pain. When we focus upon God, upon His Word in our praise, we are choosing to believe in Him. We are choosing to trust Him. Praise and God's Word. In the second place, praise and joy. We may experience joy for many different reasons. Perhaps because of some achievement, some event like Saturday. Maybe the joy that comes through family ties, connections, because of friends. Earthly joys and blessings, they can remind us that to praise and to give thanks to God for whatever the blessing might be. But we need more than earthly joys if we're going to have a deep and a restful joy that undergirds everything about us, that doesn't depend on how well things are going. It's not based on something that might be short-lived and subject to change. Earthly blessings and earthly joys, they come and they go. If we only praise God whenever we're blessed by some experience like that, then our praise will be very shallow. It'll be hit and miss. It'll be now and again. The joy that God gives far exceeds this type of earthly joy. In Psalm 4, verse 7, the psalmist says, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound." You've put more joy in my heart than these folk around me who seem to have it all, to seem to have an abundance. Yet the joy that you've given to me is something far greater and far, far deeper. When Jesus, before he went to the cross and he was spending time with his disciples in John 15, he spoke to them about his joy being in them. And he asked the Father that their joy may be full. There's nothing wrong with earthly joy, earthly blessings. They are all part of God's design for our well-being and for our good. But in comparison to this deeper joy, they're just froth on the top of your cappuccino. There is a deeper joy and a spiritual gladness that cannot be shaken, and it is based on God. This joy is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's something that we ought to be developing and growing in, it's something that we can ask God for, to increase our joy, this type of joy. Moses prayed for this joy in Psalm 90, verse 14. He said, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Let us know who you are. Let us know about your love for us, that it might make us rejoice and be glad all our days. Paul prayed for joy for the Colossian believers in his letter, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We need to ask God for a joy that doesn't fluctuate with happenings, with events, with circumstances. This joy comes to those who value God more than anything else. In Psalm 43, the psalmist calls God his exceeding joy. His exceeding joy. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 are two psalms from a psalmist who is at his wit's end. He is greatly distressed. He is depressed. He is downcast. Despite it all, God is his exceeding joy. He was focused on the one unchanging basis for true joy, his God, and his union with him. The Apostle Paul tells us that he counted everything. Everything. Here's a man who had everything. He had the highest possible education. He had a high position. He had it all. And he says, I counted all rubbish. Rubbish. There's no true satisfaction, no real enjoyment in it whatsoever, compared with the priceless privilege of knowing Christ better. No wonder he was a man who was full of God's joy in spite of everything that happened to him. We can read about the incredible hardships that he endured, the sufferings that he went through. He says, it's all rubbish because I know where my real joy comes from. In Psalm 87, the psalmist says, all my springs of joy are in you. If we want this joy, then we need him. We need him. Not to be content with the froth on top of the cappuccino or the icing on the cake. This deep down joy can only be had in him when we pursue him, to have a deeper knowledge of our God. Which brings us back to point one, praise and God's word. That's where we find out about him. That's where we find out about his ways. We can drink of the same springs as the psalmist as we praise God and meditate upon him. Another benefit comes to ourselves as we think about who God is. We will also have a greater sense of who we are as his loved ones. As we consider his greatness, his power, his majesty, his love, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, it'll start to infiltrate here. And we'll start to think, well, how does this apply to me? What does this mean to me? Our union with him through Christ that connects us to an everlasting joy. And this joy is already part of our possession. We don't have to go looking for it. No matter how we feel at this particular moment, we can begin to praise God that we belong to him, and now, even now, we are united to his everlasting life, to his everlasting love, to his everlasting glory, and we are united to his everlasting joy. The whole point of the thing is that we need to experience this joy more consistently. We need to make a choice. We need to make a choice, perhaps hourly, if not daily. And that is to rejoice. The Lord tells us through his apostle Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Not when the situation improves or things start to look better. Paul says, always. We can put off joy if we want to. We can wallow in our misery and in our situation. But God invites us to rejoice in him now. Right now. And as we do so, we will find that he will supply all that we need. He will increase that joy because we're handing ourselves and our situation over to him. Sometimes our experiences can be far from joyful. Jesus was not filled with joy in Gethsemane or on the cross. But the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 tells us about Jesus that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured with hope because he knew of the joy that was to come. Choosing to rejoice and to have hope hinges on one basic choice. Whatever our situation today, we can choose to rejoice and to be hopeful despite what we see or what we experience, and it all hinges on one basic thing, and that's simply to decide to believe and to trust God. This was Paul's prayer for the Roman believers. In Romans 15, verse 13, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." As we choose to believe him and to trust him, no matter what the situation, the Holy Spirit will fill us with his joy and his peace so that we might overflow with hope, praise and joy. Not just the frothy sort, the deep rooted, unshakable joy. Praise and God's word. Praise and joy. And then thirdly, praise and tears. God wants us to give thanks and to praise him always. Praise with our joys, but also praise with our tears in times of trial and difficulty. God has promised to cause all things to work together for good for his children. He uses trials, troubles, and difficulties to refine us, to purify us, to strengthen us. The refining process of our difficulties and our troubles bring to the surface all the dross. Everything that shouldn't be in our life, in our character. Pride, unbelief, unloving attitudes, selfishness, etc., etc., etc. Praising God through such trials brings our hearts in line with his intentions for us, so that we begin to cooperate in his plan to remove all that dross, to remove all the impurities. We may feel more inclined to complain and to blame rather than to praise and to ask God to change us through such times. When we praise and we give thanks through tears, through our trials, maybe it speeds up the process of the refining, because we're not kicking against it. We're seeking to cooperate and to work with God in the process. It might not speed it up, but it can certainly ease the refining process in our lives. God uses trials to perfect our faith as well as our character. Very often, our troubles bring us to the end of ourselves. We see just how limited our resources really are, and it makes us turn to the Lord and to find all our needs met in Him. Trials show us just how flimsy we really are. We're not self-sufficient. We need the Lord. We need His help. We need His enabling. And as we focus on God's sufficiency rather than on ourselves in such difficult circumstances, we will develop a steady trust and reliance on Him. No problem in our personality or in our situation is impossible or too difficult for Him. Praise in times of tears, being able to worship the Lord no matter what storm is going on around us, it helps us to stand back from the situation and to focus, to fix our eyes, our attention on our infinite loving God. It helps us to put matters into their proper perspective. When we come in worship and in praise and we feel like the world is just crashing down around us, we start to see the proper perspective, the limitless power of God. Suddenly our mountains become molehills. In the light of God's sovereignty, His control that we were speaking about earlier to the children, His kindness, His wise purposes, we can begin to see our troubles as stepping stones rather than stumbling blocks, as opportunities that God has given us rather than obstacles put in our way. There may be times when we feel so overwhelmed, so perplexed, perhaps even so bitter because of our experience that we cannot bring ourselves to praise God. But God's word reassures us and it reminds us of His loving kindness, which always plans for our best. In His wisdom, He never makes mistakes. In His power, He can make something glorious out of the most awful mess in our lives. As we choose to praise Him, even through tears, we are helped by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us as our comforter and our guide. And we give God the opportunity to work in us, to do the good that He wants for us, to help us in our praise, despite feelings to the contrary. And this is growth. This is growth. This is growing in the ways of the Lord. This is the refining process. This is where pain becomes gain. Praise through such times can help us out of the mental maze that sometimes we find ourselves in when we're going over and over again whatever it was that happened, when we're trying to figure out who is the one to blame in all of this, when we're playing back repeatedly how others have mistreated us. Praising God acknowledges God's intentions to use this situation for our good. We might not understand all the what's, the why's and the how's, but we simply trust in God's love and His wisdom in whatever He's doing at the present time. I said that I'd just received so much benefit from that book by the Myers. It's called Praise. I was checking with Tom, but I don't know if it's still in print. It was produced way back in the 80s, but it sent my spirit soaring. I can't agree with everything that they said in the book, but it was just an absolute gold mine of treasure. I'm just scratching the surface of some of the things that they said. But I want to close with quite a lengthy quote that they make in the book. They quote an elderly Christian, a man in his 80s, and he's looking back over his life, and he's sharing with us what he's learned through all the trials and the difficulties and the troubles that he's gone through. And this man says, just as an airplane always rises, well, it didn't rise, a lot of them didn't rise this week, but when they do get into the air, just as an airplane always rises, not with the wind, but in the face of the wind, so make oppositions send you up, not down. Make things make me when they were intended to destroy me. Jesus took the worst thing that could happen to him, the cross, and turned it into the best thing that could happen for humanity, its redemption. He didn't bear the cross, he used it. The cross was sin, and he turned it into the healing of sin. The cross was hate, and he turned it into a revelation of love. The cross was man at his worst, and Jesus turned it into God at his redemptive best. The answer then is, don't bear trouble. Use it. Take whatever happens, justice, injustice, pleasure, pain, compliment, criticism, take it up into the purpose of your life and make something out of it. Don't try to explain evil. Exploit evil. Make it serve you. Just as the plant takes up the mud and the mire into the purposes of its life and produces a beautiful flower out of them, so you take whatever happens and make something out of it. God can produce beauty out of ashes, power out of weakness, growth out of failure, triumph out of distress. And so we praise God. Whatever happens, rejoice always. Praise and God's word. That's where we'll find our fuel. That's what will feed our rejoicing, our thanksgiving, and our worship. Praise and joy. A deep, satisfying joy that cannot be shaken. Praise and tears. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we pray that you would make us to leave this place with praise resounding in our hearts. Cause us to be taken up with the wonders of you, the wonders of what you have done, the wonders of our salvation, and all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what our circumstances at the present time, despite our situations, we pray, O God, that we would be like the psalmist, troubled and downcast, but rejoicing with exceeding great joy. Help us, O God, to to search your word, to find out more about you, that will fuel our praise, our wonder, and our adoration. Help us, O God, to be founded upon this deep and lasting joy rather than the froth of this life. We pray, O God, for difficult times, times of trial and testing and affliction, that we might be able to see the greater perspective of your love and your wisdom and your hand in all of these things, perfecting us, refining us, and making us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up any who are downcast. We pray, O God, that you would fill our hearts and our mouths with praise in this Lord's day. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.